scriptural song. We have resurrection power. We have Jesus Christ that lives in us. There's royal blood flowing through our veins. Amen. Let's give Him glory and praise. Amen. Wow, that song got all over me this morning. It's powerful. It's truth. You may be seated, I guess. I'm not sure. Wow, there's such power behind that. When we really understand who we are in Christ, that's one of the things that really transformed my life. I got saved a long time ago, November 1984 in Okinawa, Japan, in the Marine Corps. But I'll tell you, when my life really changed is when I really accepted the fact that it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That old things have passed away and all things have become new. That the old Dallas died on the cross with Jesus. My sins, past, present, and future, were nailed to the cross. Done. Finished. Made into a new man, a new creature. And there's resurrection power living on the inside of all of us who are believers. Isn't that great? Yeah, that's good news. That's why Paul was such a man of passion, because he knew he had good news for God's people. Thank you, Jesus. Good morning.
Good morning.
Amen. Welcome, everyone. All right, so we're in the book of Matthew, and we may be there a long, long time. It's okay, right? And I'm very excited about this. I've been praying this week, and this message is really, you know, touches my heart, and I hope you get something from it. But I'm really more excited because I see the future of our church on Sunday morning. We're just basically going through the Bible so that I know that a year from now, I mean, we'll all have a really good overview foundation of Matthew, and then we'll go to the next. And, you know, 4 or 5 years from now, man, we're just teaching and preaching the Word, you know, and I just feel like that's what God wants us to do, and right, we'll be a Bible-teaching, believing church. I know you guys already are before I got here, but this is just what God's put in my heart. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 through 6, and this is where we're at, and this is Jesus, Sermon on the Mount, right? So let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for everyone here today. Lord, I pray that they're here in my heart and what I've said. And I just pray that your will be done in all this. Everything that we do at Pauline, be to lift up the name of Jesus. Glorify you, Father. And lead people to Christ. Lord, I just pray that you'll give us guidance and wisdom. You'll direct our steps. You said that you would. We just trust you. By the way, pray for all the folks that are out sick, not feeling well, on vacation. Just plead the blood of Jesus over all those that need healing in their life, direction. Father, we lift up, as always, we lift up our military and our foreign missionaries running around the world, spreading the good news and protecting our country. Lord, let us not forget to pray for our country from the top leaders all the way down to the bottom, Lord, that you'll give them guidance and wisdom for our nation. Lord, help me teach this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Matthew, I come out of rebellion and put my glasses back on. Thanks for praying for me, if you did. Amen. All right, so Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. Jesus says, amen. Jesus said, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your eye? Verse 5, you hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Number six. Do not give dogs what is sacred, and do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Everybody said amen?
Amen.
Amen. I was talking to Frankie this morning about, I think I'm going to get me a pair of cowboy boots. Right? And maybe a little bit taller. No. But, so I think, because, you know, I was telling him I started out, you know, in high school. I was in FFA and did all the Future Farmers America stuff and showed pigs. And everybody showed a hog for me, showed a cow, sheep, goat. I think they show anything today, you know, right? And I had a lot of fun. It was fun. I grew up on a farm about 15 minutes that way. But right out of joining the Marine Corps, I bought a pair of Tony Lama boots. And it was the gray ostrich color. Anybody remember those? I mean, I was cool. I was very cool in the Marine Corps. Met Lynn. She thought my cowboy boots were sexy. Oh, sorry. I said that word, didn't I? She started red. But I didn't have a tractor back then. Anyway, some of y'all get that. But, so anyway, I don't know what I did with them, to be honest with you. But Frankie told me they're probably $800 these days. And I was like, wow, ostrich skin. Anyway, so I hope most of you wore your steel-toed boots this morning. Amen? Because Jesus is going to talk to us about something that may step on your toes. It's definitely stepped on my toes for the past week. And so, amen. So, buckle up. Right? So, you know, we've been going through the book of Matthew, and as Jesus comes to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he tells us what is required. What is required of those who choose to follow him. This is the difference. Now, you can get saved and get your fire insurance and all that worked out. But if you really want to follow Christ, in chapter 7, he gives us several things, you know. Every person, everybody say every person. Every person must decide to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Or we automatically become a follower of the ruler of this world. Okay, if we choose to follow Jesus, get saved, born again, you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, right? Become a Christian, follow Christ, then we get the opportunity to be children of God and to spend eternity in heaven with our Father, our Heavenly Father. If we choose to follow Satan and the ways of this world, the result is eternal death, damnation, and separation from God. It's our choice. Now, here's a really cool thing for me. Okay? In 2 Peter 3:9, having said that, in 2 Peter 3:9, it says this: the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, everybody listening? Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So the good news is God doesn't want anyone to perish. It's not his will that anyone should perish. He wants us all to accept Jesus as our Savior and be born again. Now, in this passage I mentioned, there's basically four things that Jesus talks about in following him. These are these are his requirements if we want to follow Christ. Okay, there's four. And we're only going to cover one today. Okay, we're going to cover one. So this is kind of a part one, part two, maybe a part three. I'm not sure about next week. I try not to get ahead of myself. Takes all my little brain cells and tiny little brain to keep up with 1 week at a time. Okay, so here's number one. Okay. Number one, if you're taking notes. By the way, you know, I used to put the notes and everything and fill in the blanks and all that. I stopped doing it. Obviously, I just literally just did not have a time to really keep up with that. But maybe in the future, I can get back to it. But anyway, if you're taking notes, here's the first thing we're going to cover this week. Stop being judgmental. Jesus is talking to all of us. Me too, right? We have to stop being judgmental. Right? Talked a lot about the Pharisees, you know, up to this point. The hypocritical, self-righteous scribes and Pharisees were very harsh. They were very critical of anyone that looked different from them. They were critical. They judged people. If they didn't look like them, they judged them. If they didn't act like them, they judged them. If they didn't believe the way they exactly believed, they judged them. And Jesus was really correcting these guys. That's what's happening. And hopefully we are corrected through this word too. So Jesus starts out with Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Do not judge, or you too, what? Will be judged. Now, what does that mean? Judge. If you look it up, this does not refer to judging others like in a court of law. But what it's talking about is judging people and you deciding whether they're born again or not, whether they're children of God or not, or saved or not. That's what it means. You ever hear people, they don't know anything about the Bible really, but they'll say, oh, you're not supposed to tell me that. You know, the Bible says judge not lest you be judged. That's how they say it too most of the time, because they're full of rebellion and defiance, at least from my experiences, right? And that's not even what that means, okay? God is the only one that sees a person's heart. He is the only one that knows if a person is saved or not. He's really the only one. He sees our heart. You see, this is what people say when they judge others. This is kind of what people say. He can't be saved. Look at all those tattoos. She can't be saved. She can't be a Christian. She had a baby before she got married. She can't be saved. Look at how she dresses. He can't be saved. He divorced his wife years ago and ran around on her. He was in prison. He was in jail. She's been with a lot of men before in her past. How can she be a Christian? They go to movies. They dance. They have too many financial problems to be Christians. They drink beer. They smoke cigarettes. They listen to country and rock music. Can't be saved. They hang out with sinners. And you know what? They don't even go to church. I could go on and on, right? Now, before you throw stones at me, let me say this. I'll be the first to say that some of those things are unhealthy, kids, and we should not do those things. Some of those things we should avoid, right? Definitely. See, this is one of the devil's top 10 tricks to keep people from becoming born again. This is what he'll say to them. You got to clean yourself up before you go to church. You got to clean yourself up. You got to get right before you get saved. Anybody ever fail for that one? I bet you 25% of you guys did. You got to get it right. You got to do this. You got to do that before you get serious about going to church. See, what I've learned is if people, you know, the Holy Spirit draws people into salvation, right? It's God. He does that. Okay. Well, once people get saved, They get born again. Holy Spirit, you know, they come in. As they begin to mature, as they begin to go to church, read the Bible, start listening to worship music, start hanging around Christian people. I've seen it so many times. So many times I can't count. After a while, the Holy Spirit begins to convict that person. I shouldn't do that anymore. I should stop doing that. The Holy Spirit will start convicting that person that they need to change their lives. They need to change. They need to stop doing that. I need to stop hanging around those people. I need to stop watching that. I need to stop watching that. You know, that's just not good for me. I need to stop doing this. The Holy Spirit will do that work. And He will. Did it in my life. Did He do it in your life? Absolutely. I bet you don't do the things you did 20 years ago if you're born again, right? You don't think the way you did 10 years ago or whatever. The Holy Spirit does that kind of work, for sure. Now, for most people, everybody still with me? For most people, this takes time. This takes time. Okay? So, if you do judge others, this is what Jesus says about it. Everybody ready? Matthew 7, chapter 2. So for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So if you judge others, if I judge others, and if I gossip about others, and if I spread rumors about others, guess what? It comes right back to me. It comes right back to me. See, because behind your back, behind my back, others will talk about me. Others will judge you. Others will talk about you. Others will spread rumors about you. This is a spiritual law. And be sure, this spiritual law will govern you. You can't get away from it. It's like a natural law, physical law, and a spiritual law. Okay? Physical law, what? Gravity? You know, you can climb up on top of this church and jump off, and guess what's going to happen? You don't hit the ground. I don't care if you study your Bible every day for 10 hours and you pray for 10 hours and you're lead thousands of people to the Lord. If you get up on this church and jump off, you're going to hit the ground. Billy Graham and Hitler could get on top of this church and jump off. What would happen? They both hit the ground. You can be rebellious and defiant and not agree with it. It's irrelevant. You're going to hit the ground. Natural laws. 55 miles an hour on the this road out here. Was it 133? I don't like it. Probably none of you do, right? You know, I want to go get there. And we can be rebellious and defiant and say, I don't like this. And yeah, and I'm going to do 80. Guess what? Eventually, you're going to what? You're going to get a ticket. And you're going to pay Brooks County or Lowndes County $100 or $125. You can't argue with it. You can't just say, I don't agree with it. That, you know, it's irrelevant. And then there's spiritual laws. Okay? Spiritual law. There's one spiritual law we'll talk about. It's called what? Reaping and sowing. Reaping and sowing. You do good, what's going to come back to you? Good things. This is very biblical. You're mean and always rude to people, and what's going to come back to you? Rudeness, meanness, that kind of thing. Galatians 6. Galatians 6 and 7. Here's what it says. Do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Amen? So next, Jesus asks a very important question. So Matthew 7, 3 and 4. Very important question. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when all the time there is a big, giant redwood tree coming out of your own eye? Have you ever seen a redwood sequoia national park? It's beautiful, isn't it? That's right, you guys went up there. You see, Jesus' point is this, guys. Listen closely to this now. This is his point. Is that most of the time, we are blind to our own faults. Really. You know, and we quickly find fault or sin in others, but we often are blind to the very same sin in our own lives. That's why I'm a firm believer. I teach this where I work, and I might wind up teaching more about this here, but, and some of you know, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir sometimes, but I'm a firm believer that we all need a Nathan in our life. The prophet Nathan, you know, David was king, and Nathan knew that David was anointed and all that. But still, Nathan did what? Told him the truth. Well, he didn't want to hear it or not. Nathan said, here, look, man. Told the truth. And we all need a Nathan in our life. If you don't have a Nathan in your life, you're just, that's what you're doing. You're just going along in life. Everything's cool and happy. We all need a Nathan that'll tell you the truth. A man, you know, just, you know, be careful with that one with your wives now. Does these pants fit good on me? Oh, yes, honey, they fit good. But be careful. We all need a Nathan in our life, right? We do. We all need a Paul in our life. We all need someone that's pouring into us, that's discipling us, that's teaching us. We all need a Paul in our life. And we all need a Barnabas in our life, the encourager. We need someone to encourage you. You can do it, man. Hang in there. I believe in you. We all need a Barnabas. And, everybody listen, we all need a Timothy in our life. We need someone that we are pouring into, that we are discipling, that we are teaching. So we need a Nathan, Paul, Barnabas, and Timothy. Really think about that now, okay? Ask the Lord how this relates to you. Psychologists tell us that we are quickest to condemn in others the same faults we have in ourselves. Jeremiah 17, we all know about this. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Preachers have a tendency to preach very strongly against what they struggle with themselves. I mean, in the last 20-some years, maybe 30, we've seen many televangelists that are known to preach. Well, I know one, and I won't call his name because the Lord told me not to, but, you know, they preached about sexual sins back in the 80s, remember? And come find out, he had all these sexual sin problems himself. And so, you know, the Bible does clearly say, be sure your sins will find you out. So, that freaks me out. So, I don't want to, you know, have anything going on in my life. So, I have to make sure I'm repenting of my stuff. Right, guys? So, I encourage that for you. Matthew 7:5. Let's keep going. Matthew 7:5. Jesus says, you hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. In other words, Jesus is telling us that we need to confess our sins. We need to confess our secret sins. Say that again. You don't have to come up here and do it. You don't have to just... You can do it right there on your seat. You can do it when you get home tonight. But we need to confess those secret sins. And most of the time, they come from pride, self-righteousness, and a condemning spirit. Be careful. This is what I encourage all of us to pray, including myself. We all need to pray this from Psalm 51:10. Psalm 51:10 says, "Create in me a pure heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. Search my heart, O Lord, and see if there's any unclean thing in me." Amen? Should have done communion today. I didn't do that. So, Jesus tells us first to confess and forsake our sin. And then we can clearly be able to help our brother, our sister. Matthew 7:5. It clearly says to remove the speck from your brother's eye when you get it out of your own eye. Next, Jesus gives us an illustration clearly. Now, this is very cool right here to me, so we're getting ready to close, so hang with me. Jesus gives an illustration clearly teaching that though we're not supposed to be judgmental of other people, but we do need to be discerning. We need to be discerning. And later on, we're going to talk about being fruit inspectors next week or the week after. I'm not sure. Yeah, but we need to be discerning. Everybody say discerning. Discerning. That means you got to let the Holy Spirit guide you, be able to listen to that small, still voice that says, I don't know, you know, or I need to do this. You know, I need to listen to the Lord. But we need to be discerning. Matthew 7:6 says this, "Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs." This is the NIV version, okay? "If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." Believe it or not, I grew up hog hunting with dogs. I don't talk about that very much because I got trauma from that. You know what I mean? You know, hogs will tear you up, won't they? Get a wild hog, they'll eat you up and leave you out, bleed out of the woods somewhere. So you have to be very careful about that. The dogs to which Jesus is referring to were not household pets. We got it? They were dangerous, disease-carrying scavenger dogs. These were dangerous, they were disgusting. Okay, so Jesus is giving this example here. It would be like unthinkable for a Jew to throw one of these dogs a piece of meat when that piece of meat had already been through the temple and been koshered and all that kind of stuff, consecrated before the Lord. You know, they would have never done that. See, these dogs and these pigs that Jesus, the swine, these pigs that Jesus was talking about, they represent unholy, wicked people who treat the gospel with hatred. When you present the gospel to them, they will almost attack you. They are like pigs, Jesus said, who do not realize the value of pearls. Take a pig pen, throw some pearls in there. What is that hog going to do? It's just going to step on it, root it, wallow it up in the mud. It has no idea what the value of those pearls are. Kind of like a bull in a china shop, right? That's what Jesus is telling us. These people coldly reject the gospel. So if you try to witness to people, if you really try to share your story and witness to people and try to, you know, get people saved, you will eventually run across these kind of people. I have. God knows. I've had people where I really thought their head was going to spin around. Get angry, mad, and just cuss me out and just say all kinds of crazy stuff. Sometimes I believe they maybe had some demonic stuff going on and that kind of thing. Not to get all, you know, weird and spooky on you or something. Seriously. People are angry. They don't want to hear the good news. Angry at God, angry at whatever. But you will run across them. When that happens, please understand. Listen to this. When that happens, we must do what Paul did when the Jews resisted him. In Acts chapter 18, I'll read it to you. But when they opposed Paul and became abusive, I think that was, for us, it'd be more verbally abusive. I don't think anybody's going to hit you over the head. You never know. You just never know. But when they came abusive with Paul, he shook off his clothes. I think that's kind of cool. He just shook it off. You know, shook off his feet, you know. That looked kind of weird, didn't it? Let me do it again. He shook off his clothes in protest and said to them, listen closely. He said to them, your blood be on your own heads. And then he says, I am innocent of it. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. He's like, fine, get you some of that. I'm going over here. I'm going to talk to people who may be a little more interested. Because that religious spirit is strong. It's still strong today. Very strong. This means their eternal destruction is their own responsibility. I'm going to read something for you, and I'm closing. Ezekiel 33, 1 through 6. Ezekiel 33, 1 through 6. Allow me to read it to you. Now, listen to these words now. Listen. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, speak to your people and say to them, when I bring the sword against the land, and the people of the land choose one of their men and make him a watchman, and this watchman sees the sword coming against the land and blows the trumpet to warn the people, then if anyone hears the trumpet but does not heed the warning, and the sword comes and takes their life, their blood will be on their own head. Since they heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not heed the warning, their blood will be on their own head. If they had heeded the warning, they would have been able to be saved. Last verse. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet to warn the people, and the sword comes and takes someone's life, that person's life will be taken because of their own sin, but I will hold the watchman accountable for their blood. And Paul was referring to this. And Paul knew that he had fulfilled his responsibility to the Jews. He had shared the good news of Jesus Christ to them. And so now it was up to them to accept it and receive it. And Paul had done his job. He had done what God had called him to do. So, I stand behind this pulpit this morning as a watchman. And I say to all of you, Jesus Christ is returning very soon. Maybe even today. Do you know Him? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you a child of God? If Jesus came back tonight, do you know for sure that you would go with Him to heaven? Romans 10, 9 and 10 makes it very simple. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So this morning I've done what the Lord has called me to do. If you're not sure of your salvation, if you've never given your life to Christ, this morning we can do that. We're going to sing a song. It's called, in the Baptist church, it's called the Song of Invitation. If the Holy Spirit's moving in your heart, give your life to Christ. I'm going to stand down here, and I want you to come on down. I'd be glad to pray with you. We can settle that this morning. You can be adopted in the family of God. You can be heaven bound. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for all the ones that are here this morning. Holy Spirit, we know that you're the one that calls people into salvation. You're the one that convicts people of their sins. So I just give this over to you in Jesus' name. Amen.